This RRFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hi, you're listening to a Live Wires program on Arrow FM 92.7, coming to you this week from South End School. We are also streaming from the Arrow FM website and available as a podcast from the Live Wires program page. We will now introduce our amazing hosts, Arlo and Arden.
What's up, my peeps? It's on. I'm one of your hosts, Arlo, along with my colleague and my co-host, Arlen, a.k.a. Shortkin.
Hey, I'm not your co-host, but I'm not that short. But anyway, I'm Arden. I like scootering, football and more sports. We have lots to tell you, but first up is Sifa talking about deep space.
Thank you for introducing me. I want to say, are you ready to go into deep space? I know I'm not. So, anyway... Deep space generally refers to the vast regions of outer space and beyond low Earth's orbit. Did you know deep space is 2 million kilometers away from the Earth? Defying deep space is a hard one because the cosmos is nearly infinite. I mean, the exact boundary of where deep space begins depends on the context. Deep space is defined by the distance and how we communicate with objects. Deep space is also mostly an unexplored region of the cosmos that extends beyond Earth's orbit. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about deep space. It's very fun, very scary, and also very long. And I don't want to keep talking about it, because this is boring. I'll see you later, hopefully. Bye!
Wow, that was really good, Zephyr.
Yeah, thanks, Zephyr. I really enjoyed learning about deep space.
Yes, I definitely agree. But anyway, next up we have Jackson talking about the history of jokes. Go, Jackson!
Kia ora. My name is Jackson, and today I'll be talking about the history of jokes. The history of jokes is much older than people think. People have been telling jokes for thousands of years. In fact, some of the earliest recorded jokes date back to around 19 BC in ancient civilizations such as Mesopotamia. Some of tea or something. Even though these jokes are very old, many of them are about topics that people still joke about today, including everyday life, silly mistakes, and even toilet humour. Before books and the internet existed, jokes were usually shared by word of the mouth. People told funny stories around the campfire at family gatherings and during community events. As civilizations grew, jokes became to be written down. Ancient Egypts, Greeks, and Romans all loved humor. The Greeks used comedy and plays, while the Romans enjoyed funny performances and satirical writing. During the Middle Ages, jesters entertained kings and queens by telling jokes and performing tricks. Later, jokes books became popular, and in the 1800s and the 1900s, newspapers, radio, and television helped jokes spread even larger audiences. Today's jokes spread instantly through social media, memes, and messaging apps. One interesting thing about jokes is that they can help people relax, laugh, and connect with others. Scientists have even found out that laughter can reduce stress and improve the mood. Now, here are some jokes that I don't find funny. What do you call a fake noodle? An impasta. Well, why? I know 25 letters of the alphabet. I don't know why. How does a penguin make its house? It glues together. Why don't scientists trust atoms? Because they make everything up. Why did the picture go to jail? It was framed. I'm reading a book on anti-gravity. It's impossible to put down. What do you call a deer with no eyes? No idea. Here are some jokes just to finish us off. Why couldn't the bicycle stand up by itself? Because it was too tired. What do you call a fish wearing a bow tie? Sophisticated. Why did the golfer bring two pairs of pants? In case he got a hole in one. Thank you. That is all for me. And thank you for listening to my presentation.
Well done, Jackson.
Hey, Arden, why do we tell actors to break a leg?
Why?
Because every play has a cast.
Haha, nice one. But before the next person goes, we would like to thank the team at Arrow FM. And just remember, you are listening to a LiveWise program on Arrow FM 92.7. Arlo, do you have anything else to say?
Yes, thank you, Arrow FM, for giving us this opportunity to be on your show. Now, on to Grayson, who is telling us about the history of a game called Minecraft.
Thanks, Arlo. The alpha phase of Minecraft Java Edition officially ran from June 30th, 2010 to December 20th. Led entirely by creator Marcus Notch Persson, this five-month stretch transformed Minecraft from an experimental block builder into a structural survival masterpiece. It established the game's core progression loops, logic engines, and structural dimensions. Phase 1, the transition and redstone integration. Alpha began on June 30th, when Notch transitioned to working on the game full-time. The Birth of Redstone, released on July 3rd, Alpha V1.0.1 introduced redstone dust, redstone torches, levers, buttons, and pressure plates. This unexpected mechanical wire system suddenly turned a basic sandbox into a canvas for engineering logic gates and complex automation. Survival elements. Basic health and damage mechanics were solidified, shifting player focus from free building to tactical nighttime survival against monsters. Winter mode. Early world generation variants included permanent snow-covered world with ice, generating initial experiments in environmental variety. Phase 2, the Secret Friday updates. To keep players engaged, Notch established a weekly routine called the Secret Friday Updates. He pushed unannounced content changes directly to the game client, forcing players to explore their worlds to uncover hidden features. Socio-economic blocks. Natural clay blocks, brick baking, reeds, sugarcane, paper, books, and craftable bookshelves were also added. Early infrastructure. Boats allowed overwater transit, so they famously shattered into wooden planks upon the slightest collision. Atmospheric life. Chickens, cows, capable of being milked, and slimes were introduced to the ecosystem. The Lost Update. Released on Friday, September 17th, Alpha V1.1.1 added sneaking, fishing rods, and paintings. However, it carried a critical grey screen bug and was patched within hours by V1.1.2. The original file went missing entirely from history until preservationists recovered it from an old hard drive in 2021. Phase 3, the Halloween update. On October 30th, 2010, Notch published Alpha V1.2.0, universally known as the Halloween update. It remains one of the most culturally significant patches in gaming history. The Nether. Players could now build obsidian gateways to a hellish parallel dimension called the Nether, or the Slip. It acted as a fast travel system, where one block walked in the Nether equated to 8 blocks in the overworld. This dimension brought netherrack, soul sand, ghasts, and zombie pigmen. Biome generation. The world was no longer uniform. True biomes, including deserts, tundras, and plains, were injected into the code, each carrying custom grass and leaf coloration. Phase 4. Final polishing and the shift to beta. By late autumn, Minecraft's commercial success exploded, forcing Notch to formalize development by establishing Mojang Studios. The final fixes. Updates ranging from Alpha V1.2.1 through V1.2.6 focused entirely on establishing survival multiplayer, tweaking server infrastructure, adding inventory tracking, and paving over severe chunk loading errors. The dawn of beta. On December 20th, 2010, the project transitioned into its beta development phase. The shift introduced a price increase, working server options, and set the final trajectory towards full release. The Redstone and Community Explosion. By mid-2011, the community was expanding rapidly, pushing the limits of what could be built inside the sandbox. Beta 1.6. This patch was heavily focused on bug fixes, but introduced the Nether to multiplayer servers and added maps to help players navigate their massive worlds. Beta 1.7. This stands as one of the most beloved updates of the era, introducing pistons and sticky pistons. Originally created as a community mod by Hippoplanimus, Notch officially integrated them into the game, completely revolutionizing automated farming, hidden doors, and redstone machinery. Phase 4. Pre-releases and the end. Instead of a formal Beta 1.9 patch, Mojang utilized a series of weekly pre-releases in October and November 2011 to test features for the final launch. mechanics reaching maturity. This chaotic testing phase introduced potion brewing, armor enchanting tables, hardcore mode, animal breeding, and most notably, nether fortresses with blazes. The final boss, the End Dimension and the End Dragon were added, giving the sandbox game a definite structural ending for the first time. Now for some myths about the game. Minecraft Alpha Myths, mid to late 2010. Herobrine, the supposed ghost of Notch's dead brother, supposedly stalks players in single-player worlds. He builds random 2x2 sand pyramids, cuts leaves off trees, and digs long tunnels. He has completely blank white eyes. Israfel, a pale, red-eyed figure popularized by the early YouTube series The Yogcast. He was rumored by young players to be an active, demonic NPC hidden inside normal game files. Of course, such a thing never existed. The Giant Slime Ritual. Players believed that bringing a normal slime down to bedrock and surrounding it with obsidian would spawn a massive, unkillable giant slime. The Green Groover. A creepy entity rumor from the early internet forums. It was described as a silent, green-skinned player model that would mimic player movements from far away before disappearing. The Sledge. A myth about a rare hostile entity shaped like a blocky moving industrial machine. It was rumored to spawn deep underground and actively crush player bases. Golden Apple Secured Death. A short-lived rumor claiming that keeping a notched golden apple in your hotbar would automatically resurrect your character upon dying in lava. The Diamond Ore Detonation Theory. A myth stating that mining a diamond ore block with a gold pickaxe had a rare chance to trigger an instant TNT-like explosion. Enderman Language. A theory that Enderman was speaking backward English messages predicting the player's real-world future. They were actually just distorted sound clips of a person saying, "Hi, hello, and what's up?" Did you know that beyond the world border is a place called the Farlands? I'm about to tell you more about this strange place and its history. The Accident. Why the Farlands existed. The Farlands were never intentionally coded by March, not person. They are the mathematical byproduct of how early Minecraft generated terrain using a formula called Perlin Noise. The code defect. To build mountains and caves, the game multiplied noise values by 1.7.1 for every block moving away from the world center. The mathematical limit. Minecraft ran on a 32-bit signed Integra system, which caps numbers at a maximum value of roughly 2.14 billion. The breakpoint. When you divide the code defect by 2.14 billion, you get exactly 12,550,821. At this precise block coordinate, the game's math overflowed into extreme values, causing the terrain generator to lose its mind and violently stretch blocks to the height limit. The Golden Age of Exploration. Throughout Alpha and Beta, the Farlands remained a hidden, ominous structure waiting at the edge of every single world. The edge versus the corners. Walking straight on the X or Z axis led to the Farlands, which looks like a continuous wall of vertical looping tunnels. If a player traveled diagonally and hit the overflow on both axes simultaneously, they reached the corner Farlands, a chaotic grid of floating columns often called a sky grid. The Jitterbug. Approaching the Farlands was physically dangerous for a player's character. Floating point precision errors caused the game's camera and physics engine to shake violently. Blocks lost their solidity, meaning players would frequently slip straight through the floor and plunge into the void below. The End of the Lands. The Farlands met their official demise in Beta 1.8, the Adventure Update. As part of a massive rewrite to accommodate new biomes, ravines, and structures, Mojang fixed the Integra overflow issue. From Beta 1.8 onward, terrain generated normally all the way to the hard world boundary at 30 million blocks, replacing a beautiful broken walls with an endless ocean or a flat void. Note, the mobile Bedrock Edition retained its own version of the Firelands for much longer, until they were eventually patched out in late 2021. The Legendary Pilgrimages. Because walking 12.5 million blocks takes hundreds of real-world hours, reaching the Firelands became the ultimate test of endurance in the gaming community. Farlands or Bust. In March 2011, a content creator named Kurt J. Mack set out to walk to the Farlands entirely on foot in Beta 1.7.3 without using any cheats. His charity march turned into an internet epic, spanning over 14 years before he finally arrived at the glitch on October 4th, 2025. The Speedrunners. While Kurt walked slowly to raise money for charity, other extreme endurance players began running optimized routes. A player named Kilo Crazy Man became the first verified person to complete the journey on foot by sprinting through a continuous 9-month campaign, concluding in June 2020. Well, we've walked to the farmlands, fought the wither together, and seen the edge of the world. Now it's time to say goodbye. That's me telling you the history of Minecraft. Now back to our hosts, Arlo and Arden.
Thanks, Grayson. You taught me a lot of cool things I didn't know about Minecraft. I actually play Minecraft myself. Do you, Arlo?
Yes, of course I do. Who doesn't? But now, we will have a song that Zephyr chose. Do you have something to say about your song, Zephyr?
Yeah, it's a very nice song. It's Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson. He's a very famous person. I think he's Jackson's favorite, and he also gives me a nice... every day. And he's also one of my favorite artists. And this is his song.
Great song, isn't it, Arlo?
Yeah, it's a great song. Good choice, Zephyr. Remember, you were listening to a Live Wires program on RFM 92.7. They have lots of amazing podcasts, and we would like to thank them.
We also had Matariki recently, and Arlo will be talking to you about it.
Thank you for that introduction, short thing. But back to the show. Last term in week 11, we had a Matariki festival celebration. The students made lanterns for the lantern walk around the school. There were also cute little scenes around our food forest, like acorn cap mushrooms and dragonflies made from sticks and helicopter seeds. Both were lit up by electric tea lights.
It was really fun, but enough talking, because next up we have Casper talking about the top 10 superheroes.
Hi, I'm Casper, and I'm going to talk about the most popular superheroes. The Marvel hero Spider-Man is the first Spider-Man. Peter Parker was 15 when he was bitten by a radioactive spider. Peter showed that you don't need to have a godlike power or alien power to be a hero. Spider-Man is the most seen hero, so he's the most popular hero. DC Batman. Bruce Wayne is entirely human and has power like no other superheroes. He proved that you can make a power not born with superpowers and can use his wings to glide with his strong skills. DC Superman. Clark Kent was born as Kal-El on the doomed planet Krypton. He fights for justice and hope. He can fly and shoot lasers out of his eyes. Cool, right? Iron Man is the superhero persona of a billionaire inventor, Anthony Tony Stark. Stark, created by Stan Lee, builds power suits of armor to save the world. His iconic alter ego was heavily inspired by the real-life inventor Howard Hughes. DC Wonder Woman is a foundational DC Comics superheroine created in 1941 by the physicologist William Moulton Marston as Princess Diana of Themyscira. Captain America, from the dark days of World War to the explosive changes of today. Super Soldier Captain America stands ready as a shining sentinel of liberty to shield the oppressed and fight for freedom everywhere. Wolverine, the man named Logan, lives numerous lifetimes as a result of his regenerative mutation before losing his memories during a cruel experiment. But he finds a new home when he joins the ranks of X-Men as a Wolverine. With his brooding demeanor and bold behavior, he becomes a force of good. Hulk, the child of an abusive father, Bruce Banner grew up shy and introverted, yet a scientific genius. As a young man, thanks to his standout work in the field of nuclear physicists, he attracted the attention of the U.S. Army, who wanted to adapt his theories for weaponry. Banner resisted such notions, but failed attempts at landing steady work. The Army convinced him to accept a position at the Federal Nuclear Research Facility at a missile base in the New Mexico desert. 4. From the original red-haired mythological thunder god to his modern status as a Marvel icon, 4 is one of the most enduring figures in history. The Flash. In DC Comics, legendary Scarlet Speedster, capable of thinking and moving at the speed of light. Well, see ya.
Wow, Casper, I do like all of the superheroes, but Iron Man is the best, and no one can change that at all. Who do you like, Mr. Short King? I bet it's Batman.
Nah, it's quite obvious. Spider-Man. He's the best. Iron Man is decent, though.
Next up, we have a song that has been chosen by Casper.
The Backstreet Boys are the best-selling boy band in history, having sold over 130 million records worldwide. Formed in Orlando, Florida in 1993, the group has Nick Carter, AJ McLean, Howie Dorof, Kevin Richardson, and Brian Littrell.
My fire, the one desire, believe when I say
I want it that way. But we are two worlds apart. Can't reach to your heart when you say that I.
Nice song, Casper, but let's take a moment to thank RFM for giving us this opportunity. Anything else you want to add to that, Mr. Scoots?
Mr. Scoots, I like it better than Shop King, but anyway, yes, thank you, RFM, for this opportunity. Up next, we have Michaela with something that we don't even measure up to. Take the mic, Michaela.
Hi, I'm Michaela, and today I'm doing stuff about Robert Wadlow. Robert Wadlow was widely known as the Elton Giant, is the tallest man recorded in human history. He reached an amazing height of 8 feet, 11.1 inches, which is 2 meters and 27 centimeters, before his death in 1940. His continuous growth was caused by a rare pituitary gland condition. Robert spoke his last words around 10:30 p.m., telling his family members gathered around his bed that he wouldn't make it to his grandparents' golden anniversary party later that month. "The doctor says I won't get home for the celebrations," Robert said. Robert then went unconscious. Robert dies of a septic shock caused by an infected blister. Streeper Funeral Home, now Eliz Smith, from Elton, drove all the way to Michigan to pick up Robert's body. His coffin, made of redwood, was 10 foot 9 inches, or 327.66 centimeters long, and weighed 456.592 kgs. He wore a US size 37AA shoe. This is roughly a UK size 36 or European size 25. At age 5, he was 5 foot 4 inches. At age 8, he was 6 foot. At age 9, he was 6 foot 2 inches. At age 10, he was 6 foot 5 inches, which is 1 meter 96. At age 11, he was 6 foot 67. At age 12, he was 6 foot 10.6 inches. 6 foot and 10.6 inches. At age 15, he was 7 foot 8 inches. At age 17, he was 8 foot 0.5 inches, which is 2 meters and 45 centimeters, which made him the tallest teenager ever by Guinness World Records. At age 19, he was 8 foot 5.5 inches. At age 20, he was 8 foot 6.87 inches. At age 27, which is when he died, he was 8 feet 11.1 inches, which is 2 metres 72. And that's all I have on Robert Radlow for now.
Wow, Michaela, I didn't know that about the world's tallest man. That was really interesting. Anything to add to that short, Mr. Scoots?
Thanks a lot, Arlo. But no, anyway, moving on to the next, we have got Gideon talking about the Black Plague.
Yes, indeed. The floor is yours, Gideon.
Symptoms. The symptoms include high fevers, chills, headaches, chest pains, rapid breathing, severe shortness of breath, and coughs that might bring up blood. Discount. The estimated number of deaths in the peak time of the Black Plague is 50 to 200 million deaths. Fun fact. The Black Plague, or the Black Death, was most likely the earliest pandemic, starting in 1338 and ending in 1353, although there are still some rare cases. How it spreads. It typically spreads through rats and fleas, and it is very painful. Alright, that is it for me. See you later.
Thanks, Gideon. That plague disease sounds horrible. I would not want to catch that.
Yes, the Black Plague does not sound like a very nice time period. We are halfway through our show now, but don't walk away yet, because we still have some good things to share.
That's right, Arlo, so I guess we should crack on. Up next, we have Arlo playing a song. Go ahead, Arlo.
This song is a song that is by Alex Warren. I like it because, I like it.
They say the holy water's watered down, and this town's lost its faith. Our colors will fade eventually, so if our time is running out, day after day, we'll make the mundane a masterpiece. Oh my, my, oh my, my love. I take one look at you, you're taking me out of the ordinary. Would you lay me down to a dead and buried on the edge of your knife, staying drunk and alive? The angels up in the clouds are jealous, knowing we thought something so wild from the ordinary. You got me kissing the ground from your sanctuary. Shatter me with your touch, oh Lord, return me to dust. The angels up in the clouds are jealous, knowing we. Of heaven's gate. Oh, my life, thou do.
touch of your knife, staying drunk on your vibe. The angels up in the clouds are jealous, knowing we found something so out of the ordinary. You got me kissing the crowd, sanctuary. Turn me when you talk, oh Lord, return me to dust. The angels up in the clouds are jealous, knowing we found.
Nice song choice, Arlo. At least you chose something ordinary.
Haha, nice joke. But Jackson is now going to tell us about one of his idols, the one and only Michael Jackson.
Hi, it's me again, Jackson. And I'm going to talk about Michael Jackson. Let's get straight into my piece. Michael Jackson was born on August 29th, 1958, in Gary, Indiana, in the United States. He began his music career at a very young age and became famous when he was only 11 years old. As a member of the Jackson 5, the group was made up of Michael and his brothers, Jackson, Tito, Jackie, Jermaine, and Marlon, and later Randy Jackson. Michael's amazing singing voice, dancing skills, and confidence on stage quickly made him stand out of the rest of the group. People all around the world loved him performing, and soon he became one of the biggest and the most famous child stars ever. One thing I found really interesting is that the Jackson 5 never officially broke up. Even though the brothers later focused on different projects, the Jackson 5 father, Joe Jackson, was also their manager. He was known for being really strict and expected his children to work hard and practice for many hours. Some people believe that his strictness helped the group become successful, while others think that the way he treated his children was unfair and too harsh. Michael later spoke about how difficult some parts of his childhood was because of the pressure he felt growing up. As Michael got older, he started a solo career and became even more successful. He released many hit albums, but his most famous album was such songs as Billie Jean, Beat It, Thriller. And his most famous sound was the King of Pop. That was his nickname for now. Because of his incredible impact on music, he changed the music industry with his creative music videos, unique fashion, and his famous dance move, especially like the moonwalk. He also achieved 13 number one hit songs on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, which is more than any male solo artist has ever gotten. Something else that made Michael Jackson special was his generosity. He cared about helping other people and supported many charities throughout his life. He donated money to the hospitals, children organizations, and people affected by disasters, and people with mental health. He believed music could bring people together and often shared messages about peace, kindness, and helping others. Michael also visited New Zealand, where many people welcomed him and showed him lots of love and support. Even though Michael Jackson faced many personal challenges and was often the spotlight of the media, he remained one of the most influential entertainers in history of his music. His music inspired millions of people, even billions, and continued to be enjoyed by his fans all over the world today. Many modern singers and dancers still look up to him because of the impact he has made on modern music and performances. Michael Jackson passed away on June 25th, 2009, at the age of 50. Even though he is no longer here, his music, dancing, and his achievements continue to live on. I think Michael Jackson was an amazing performer because of his talent, hard work, and the way he changed music forever. His contributions to music, dance, and pop culture are still celebrated today. That is all for me. Thank you for listening.
Wow, I didn't know that about Michael Jackson. Those were some good facts.
Thanks, Jackson. So cool to learn all those cool things. But next up, we have Michaela giving a quiz to our special guest, Lila.
Welcome to Michaela's Mastermind, the final answer, where every brainwave counts, every question matters, and only one final answer can lead to victory. Today we welcome Lila to come and participate. She was picked out of random selection of students at South End School. You can also follow along and answer these questions on your own.
Hi, I'm super excited to participate.
Ready to begin?
I'm super ready.
Right, question one. What is the melting point of gold in degrees Celsius?
Well, I think it might be a big number, so I'll say 1,046.
Nice. Question two. France holds the record for the most time zones of any country. How many time zones does it span, including its overseas territories?
Well, it has a few overseas territories. It can't be that many, though. So I'll say 13.
Nice. Ibrahim was the ancient Roman name for which modern-day English city? A, Paris, B, London, or C, York?
Well, I know that Paris is in France, and most people would say London, but I think I'm going to go with York.
Amazing. You're smashing this. Question four. What is the only flag in the world that does not have four sides? A, Qatar, or B, Nepal?
I'll say it's Nepal.
Question five. In what year did the Titanic sink?
My brother says that one all the time. It's 1912.
Nice. Question six. What is the only food that can never go bad? A, salt, B, honey, or C, sugar?
I think I'm going to say honey.
Question seven. In what year did the French Revolution officially begin?
I'm going to say maybe 1788.
In what is the largest desert in the world? This one you have to do on your own with no clues at all.
Well, look, I think some people would say it's the Sahara, but I know there are also cold deserts as well, so I think I'll say Antarctica.
You are amazing at this so far. And what, question nine, what year was the very first iPhone released?
It was probably pretty recent. It was still before I was born, though, so I think I'll say 2007.
I'm very surprised in how you're doing. Question 10. What artist sings the song Blinding Lights, which holds the massive streaming records on Spotify?
Maybe The Weeknd?
Question 11. What is the capital city of Australia?
Canberra?
In what year did the World War II officially end?
Well, it was definitely a while ago, so I think I'll say 1945.
Now for the last question, the hardest question. Lila, it's time for the final answer. In a room, there are two mothers and three daughters. What is the least amount of people that could be in the room?
Well, I'm going to say that in this instance, it would be a grandmother, a mother, and a daughter. So three people. I'd say because all of the women are daughters, and two of them are mothers, because the daughter has not had any children yet. So three.
Right. It's time to answer. Lila, you put 1,046 for the melting point of gold. The correct answer was 1,064. So you were so close, though. Right. On question two, you put 13 for the French time zones, and you got that correct. On question three, you did York, and that was the correct answer. Question four, you put Nepal, and that's also the correct answer. On question five, you said it was 1912. That's also correct. On question 6, you put honey, and of course, honey can never go old. Question 7, you put 1788, but the correct answer was 1789. You were so close. On question 8, you put Antarctica, and you were 1,000% correct. Question 9, for the capital city of Australia, you put Canberra, and that is very true. It's not Sydney or Melbourne. Lots of people find this very hard to think about, but not you. Question 10, you put, in what year did World War II officially end? What's the answer for the year World War II officially ended? You put 1945, and that is 100% correct. Right, the last answer, the hardest question, Lila, you put 3. And I don't know how you got it, but you got it correct, which means you got, your score was 8 out of 11. So good job.
Hey, Arlo, here is a quiz question. How many hearts does an octopus have?
Maybe 3.
Wow, correct.
Wow, I actually got it correct. And Michaela and Lila, that was a good quiz. I enjoyed listening to it, but we should thank RFM for helping us get this opportunity.
Yeah, thanks RFM for this opportunity. But next up, we have Gideon performing a speech. Go ahead, Gideon.
Sports do not build character, they reveal it. That is a quote from Hayward Brown, a popular American journalist. My name is Gideon, and today I will be talking about why we should focus more on sports in schools. I will have 3 main arguments. My first will be fitness, my second will be opportunity, and my last will be the importance of working together. On my first point for this one, I will talk about fitness and mental health. Did you know that many kids in New Zealand are obese? In fact, 33% of the New Zealand population are obese. Doing more sports in schools can help tackle this problem. Doing more sports and running can release happy hormones such as dopamine and serotonin, making you happier after a running event or a game of some sort. Now, I will be talking about the opportunities for future careers that sports can bring. Many kids will get many more chances to get a scholarship or even a career if the schools focus more on sports. It can also give opportunities to make new friends and socialise more by going to different sporting events and meeting new people. And for my last point, I will talk about the importance of working together. Lots of kids struggle with hand-eye coordination and teamwork. Sports can help with hand-eye coordination and teamwork by doing passing drills and other drills. Sports can help with important life skills, fitness and strengths. In conclusion, I think we should focus more on sports in schools because they are great for our mental and physical health, to help us develop life skills, and to help with teamwork. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to my speech.
Nice speech, Gideon. I definitely agree about how schools should have more sports. Anything to add to that,
Oh my gosh, you actually called me by my real name. And Gideon, nice speech.
So next up we have, show us what you've got, Mr. Scoots.
The football season has come to an end, and let's talk about what happened. First of all, in the top 5 leagues, the English Premier League finished with Arsenal in first after 3 years of finishing second. Man City came second and Man United came third. Aston Villa and Liverpool also got Champions League football, coming fourth and fifth. And the biggest shock was Sunderland, a newly promoted team, came seventh, getting Europa League. Now, moving on to La Liga, where Barcelona won, Real Madrid in second and Villarreal in third, with Atletico Madrid in fourth. Next up to the Bundesliga, based in Germany, and surprise, surprise, Bayern Munich won, with Dortmund in second and RB Leipzig in third. Now, moving on to the Serie A in Italy, Inter Milan won with Napoli in second, Roma in third, and Como in fourth. Now let's talk about Ligue 1 in France. PSG won with RC Lens in second and Lille in third. Now let's talk about the European trophies. Crystal Palace won the Conference League, Aston Villa won the Europa League, and the big one, PSG won the Champions League, beating Arsenal on penalties. Now, in the World Cup, the two semi-finals were between Spain and France, with Spain winning that one 2-0. And the other semi-final was Argentina versus England, which Argentina won 2-1. So the final was between Spain and Argentina, but there was also a third-place playoff between France and England, which England were up 4-0 at half-time, but France came back but still lost 6-4, despite being the favourites to win the whole tournament. But now moving on to the final, where after the full 90 minutes, it was still 0-0, so the game had to go to extra time, where the ball landed right to the foot of Spain player Ferran Torres, just outside the 6-yard box, where he struck it into the middle of the net and won Spain the game. And that's it for me.
Oh, incredible, Arden. Absolutely amazing. I've never heard anything like that before.
Oh, thanks, Arlo. But now we're going to say a goodbye to end the day off. 3, 2, 1.
Goodbye.
I pinch black Chevy antique, I was 17. I ain't have nothing but some tees and a pair of jeans. Pine trees, but it smell like weed in the front seat. You was on route to being famous and everything. White kids, cause she's way too major for everything. I wanna be a part of it, what you got going on is in the sad as you make it out to be. I wanna be mad, but you take it out of me. 1995 teens in the Florida breeze. Ice cream, she was so sweet before everything. Tight squeeze, trying to fit me in everything. But she never came. The world is moving, we were never meant to stay. But I was working on the world. I guess I thought that if I gave you what I had, I guess I thought that it would work. I never knew. Oh, it was because of you. Trying to fit my G's in these Prada jeans. Mismatching with my Celine's, king of everything. Fence stack coming in this week, I bought everything. Dispatching with all the G's, pull up, wreck the scene. White keys, cause she's way too major for everything.
Oh, this is so mundane, I feel my heart inside my back. I made a point to be intact, you don't even keep your house in with me. You were singing those songs. The world is moving, we were never meant to stay. But I was working on the world.
Looks like we have forgotten something. Sifa, welcome home.
Wow, thanks for remembering me. Anyway, I teleported from space into my computer because I'm talking about the ARG known as Welcome Home. Welcome Home is an ARG, alternate reality game created by the artist Clown. It is an interactive horror project centered around a fictional lost 1970s puppet show. The story is presented as an in-universe website run by a restoration team archiving the show. Through their research reveals sinister supernatural anomalies threatening both the puppets and the viewer. But it's all fake. Don't worry. Wouldn't want you to pee your pants. But for real, the only reason I'm even talking about this is to egg on a friend that's moved on. Oh, no, he's not dead, but like, he just moved to Aussie. And this is the last thing we worked on. Emotion, no. Okay, so no more emotion, bye-bye. See you next term, and remember to smile.
Ziffer for that, but now for the real goodbye.
Three, two, one,
goodbye!